Good afternoon. Welcome to the Minnesota House of Representatives Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee. Our first item of business is the committee legislative assistant, Mr. Dan Dodge, will take the role to establish a quorum. Mr. Dodge.
Chair Hornstein.
Present.
Hornstein, present. Vice Chair Cagle.
Present.
Cagle, present. Representative Petersburg.
Petersburg, present.
Petersburg, present. Representative Barr.
Here.
Barr, present. Representative Bernardi. Representative Bernardi. Representative Elkins.
Present.
Elkins, present. Representative Frederick.
Present.
Frederick, present. Representative Hausman.
Present.
Hausman, present. Representative Heinrich.
Heinrich, present.
Heinrich, present. Representative Kosnick.
Present.
Kosnick, present. Representative Mason.
Mason, present.
Mason, present. Representative Murphy.
Murphy, present.
Murphy, present. Representative Nelson. Representative Nelson. Representative Olson.
Present.
Olson, present. Representative Richardson.
Present.
Richardson, present. Representative Torkelson.
Torkelson, present.
Torkelson, present. Representative West.
Present.
West, present. There is a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Dodge. The next item of business is approval of our committee minutes for Thursday the 31st and Friday the 1st of April. That's March 31st and Friday, April 1st. Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. There was one minor correction on the Thursday minutes that you should have all received an update. So with that, Mr. Chair, I would move the approval of the March 31st and April 1st minutes.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Is there discussion? Seeing none, we'll do this via voice vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All of those opposed, the motion prevails. The minutes are approved. Actually, let's see. We did those as a package, or do we need to do Mr. Dodge separately for the 31st and 1st?
I moved both in my motion.
Okay, yeah, okay, good. That's what I thought. Okay, well, members, I just wanted to outline what's ahead for today and the rest of the week. Today, we are going to go through a walkthrough of House File 1683, the DE1 amendment, and that will act as our supplemental finance and policy bill for 2022. And following that, we will hear, we will have a committee discussion, questions of nonpartisan staff, and if we have time, and I trust we will, we'll start public testimony with the Met Council. And then we're going to have agencies tomorrow, and the general public will provide public testimony tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And then on Thursday at 1 o'clock, we will do amendments. Reminder that amendments are due at the normal time, which would be 1 o'clock tomorrow. For consideration at our Thursday markup session. And we have actually until 5:30 on Thursday. So we know that meeting could go a little longer with amendments and discussion to the bill. So that is the plan. And again, to review today, it's a walkthrough from our nonpartisan finance fiscal analyst and researcher. And then testimony, starting our public testimony with the Met Council today. So I will hand over the virtual gavel to Vice Chair Cagle. But before I do, I just wanted to again offer my thanks to the committee. We'll talk more about the bill on Thursday. And as I've mentioned previously, I strive, and our members on our side of the aisle strive to create bills that are inclusive of all parts of the state, all modes. We are very concerned about repairing our crumbling infrastructure and addressing our urgent climate needs and doing that in a way that is equitable for all. And those are really the goals of this bill. And we will walk through that now and address issues and concerns as the week progresses. So with that, Vice Chair Cagle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And so thank you, Mr. Chair. Could you please briefly tell us about the DE amendment to House File 1683?
Well, Madam Chair, as I mentioned, we will go through this, all the details with our staff, and just in broad strokes, we were given a working target of $225 million of general fund money. And one of our key priorities was to ensure that we are able to adequately match the money coming in through the federal bipartisan infrastructure bill that was passed by Congress and signed by the president in November. This is a historic investment in transportation infrastructure that includes roads, bridges, public transit systems, aviation, freight, and also important safety issues are included in this very broad bill. And so one of our main tasks this year was to provide guidance and also money to match the federal money coming in. And we've worked with the agencies on this, other interested parties. And I appreciate, Vice Chair Cagle, your active engagement in the IIJA work that we've done this session. So that is an important part of this bill. We also view the role in terms of addressing the urgent issues around infrastructure investments by including monies for a variety of different modes. You'll notice also that we have electric bus infrastructure as part of the IIJA match, and that is part of the Metropolitan Council's ask. In addition, we provide support for the Northern Lights Express, very important passenger rail link between the Twin Cities and Duluth. And of course, there's also important freight rail improvements as part of that allocation. This has been an ongoing issue for us. We traveled to Duluth, in fact, as a committee in late 2018, and we have been really actively involved in this issue for many, many years. So you'll see support for that in this bill. We have a number of other items that we finance. We have an ongoing support for small cities. This has been a vexing issue in transportation for many, many years. We hope that there will be, what we've done here is an initial $10 million allocation, and then we have money ongoing for that in the following years. We also provide support for townships, and in the bill we passed on Thursday, there's also, this is the sales tax transfer, there's also a position for small cities and townships. We support active transportation, and this is a key. This has been very, very underfunded for many years. We had a breakthrough last year where we had an initial $5 million allocation. Now we have up to $12 million in this bill and an ongoing support. That's for biking and walking, really key part of our safety agenda. Members, we talked a lot about safety this year, given the epidemic of deaths on our roadways. 502 Minnesotans have been killed on our highways. And so obviously the bike and walk piece is critical to that, as is making sure that we address issues that are causing this epidemic of traffic deaths. And so we have a new and important source of funding and advisory group created specifically to address traffic safety needs. And so that's included in this, as well as some policy issues around safety as well. So traffic safety, a key part of this bill. When we talk about transit, we want to make sure that all parts of the state are covered, and we have a position for Greater Minnesota Transit in this bill as well. So we also have trunk highway bonding, that is really for two purposes: our critical bridge needs. Members, we're coming up on the 15th anniversary of the collapse of the I-35W bridge. And so there's important bonding for bridges in this bill, as well as urgent needs for MnDOT's maintenance facilities and other types of infrastructure that they need to fulfill their mission. So that's also included in our trunk highway bonds. Lots of other things, Madam Chair, but again, I want to conclude by saying that this bill is comprehensive. It addresses a lot of urgent needs, and I ask for support, and I see there's already a question.
Well, I think we were going to move to the walkthrough of the spreadsheet by Mr. Lee and then and the DE amendment with Mr. Burris. So if we'd want, if Mr. Lee, can you?
But there is appears to be a member question.
Oh, Representative Torkelson.
Actually, this is from John Petersburg. I just wanted to know the process. So do we have the bill in front of us and move the DE yet for bringing it up, or are you planning to do that after the walkthrough?
Madam Chair, I know that some committees are doing it different than others, but, you know, if
it doesn't matter. I'm just curious as to what you want to do, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I was going to move the bill itself on Thursday, but we can move it today as well.
That's fine, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the question.
All right. Well, I will turn it over then to Mr. Lee. If you guys have questions during his presentation on clarifying questions, please feel free to raise your hand. If I miss your question, we can return to it once the walkthrough is completed. If you have questions for the author, please save them for the till after the walkthrough. So with that, Mr. Lee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Andrew Lee from House Fiscal Staff. And John, if you wouldn't mind bringing up the screen share for the spreadsheet. Thank you. And just a quick refresher course on how to read the spreadsheet. Column A shows the description of the change item, and then column B is the fund, and then columns G to L are the spending, with the biennial column being the 2 years added together. So the first change item is under MnDOT, under state, under the aeronautics, $7 million for state utility aircraft replacement, one time from the general fund. Then moving down to line 18, $5.5 million one time from the aeronautics fund for airports IIJA match. Then on line 24, $10 million one time for Greater Minnesota Transit IIJA match. On line 30, $12.5 million from the general fund for active transportation. And also establishes a base of $6.15 million a year in the tails from the general fund. Then a one-time general fund appropriation on line 36 for the Safe Routes to School program. That's in addition to the base. I should note on the spreadsheet, these are only changes from base. And if you're interested in the base amounts, comparison to the previous fiscal year or comparison with the governor's rec, there's a separate spreadsheet that I can share with you as well. But this is just the DE in front of the committee. Then on passenger rail, there's two general fund change items. A second daily train to Chicago operating cost is $740,000 in this biennium and $3.69 million in the tails as a base. And a one-time $51 million in Northern Lights Express passenger rail appropriation in fiscal 2023, and establishment of a base of $34 million in the tails, for a total of $85 million. Then under freight, There's a general fund one-time appropriation for the Minnesota Rail Service Improvement Program, or MRSI, on line 49. And then on line 50, there's an appropriation, but this is just showing a statutory change that would reallocate an amount of traffic citations rather than going to the Trunk Highway Fund, going to the Rail Grade Crossing Safety Account. So this is just a statutory note that's there, and it's also in the revenue items at the end of the spreadsheet. Then moving on to state roads, on line 59, $1 million for pollinator habitat along highways. This is a one-time general fund appropriation. Then on line 60, one-time in this biennium from the Trunk Highway Fund of $11.475 million for operations and maintenance appropriation increase that is related to IIJA spending levels. And then on line 61, the establishment of Trunk Highway spending base starting in fiscal 2023 of the appropriation is $330,000 in this biennium, and then the establishment of base of that same amount in each year in the tails. Then moving on to program delivery, $10.802 million in an appropriation in 2023, and the establishment of a base increase for program delivery of $24.965 million in the tails from the Trunk Highway Fund. Moving on to page two, state road construction. The first change item is from the general fund, one time $2 million for the Living Snow Fence program. And so you'll see that this change item is in two places. One's from the general fund under state road construction, and one was in the previous appropriation. Then on line 47, this is the state appropriating the estimated amount of federal dollars that will be coming from the state. So this line 47, is essentially the federal money that the legislature would need to appropriate in order to spend those funds. And then on line 75 is the state estimated matching money, which is $91.85 million in this biennium. Moving on to Trunk Highway debt service. This is as a result of approximately $150 million in Trunk Highway bonds being authorized in this bill, $1.511 million in debt service in this biennium, and $17.812 million in the tails. Moving on to state radio communications, $2 million one-time general fund appropriation for the armor radio and equipment replacement. And then under local roads, one-time appropriation from the general fund for the county state aid highway at $30.868 million, and another one-time appropriation of $4 million for township roads. Then under municipal state aid streets, $9.748 million in one-time general fund appropriation. And then for small cities, $10 million ongoing appropriation starting in fiscal 2023 and then establishing a base of $10 million a year in the tails. Now moving on to agency management, an appropriation increase of $3.738 million in this biennium and establishing a base increase of $8.638 million in the tails. Then in buildings, a one-time Trunk Highway appropriation in fiscal 2022 of $2.2 million for pre-design and design of MnDOT facilities. And this is specific to a truck station in Hutchinson. Then there on IIJA match funding, there is a establishment of a matching program for local assistance on line 129. That is $36.8 million one time from the general fund. Then the establishment of a base of $400,000 a year and first year's appropriation in 2023 of $400,000 for technical assistance grants. Then a electric vehicle infrastructure IIJA program of $6.8 million a year in fiscal 2023 and $3.4 million a year in each year of the tails. Finally, the change item, the maximum federal Transportation Climate Funding General Fund establishes a base of $2 million a year and an appropriation of $2 million in fiscal 2023. That is MnDOT, and so you can see the total lines there. And then under Metropolitan Council, there's a number of change items, all from the general fund. $20 million one time for operations increases, and IIJA match $75,000 for transit signal priority. Then $5 million in establishing a base for zero bus emissions transition. And then arterial bus rapid transit planning at $500,000 in fiscal 2023, and the same amount as a base in 24 and 25. Then a few one-time appropriations of $2 million for transit shelter improvements, $1.3 million for the replacement service providers for microtransit, and transit fare temporary reduction, and which would be appropriated $2.305 million. So the total change for the Metropolitan Council and General Fund is $31.18 million. Then under the Department of Public Safety, $1 million a year, an appropriation increase for the Public Safety Officer Survivor Benefit, related to cancer and PTSD eligibility expansion. Then under soft body armor reimbursements, $605,000 in this biennium and $410,000 in the TAILS for the appropriation increase. And then under commercial vehicle enforcement, this is a trunk highway appropriation increase, $2 million in fiscal 2023 and $10.128 million in the TAILS. Moving on to driver and vehicle services, and I should note these are the appropriations. There's also a few revenue items that will be further down the sheet. Under driver services, there's a number of changes. The first is an appropriation increase related to race and ethnicity data. That's $414,000 in this biennium and $428,000 in the TAILS. This is from the driver services account of the special revenue fund. And then a one-time appropriation of $1,029,000 for exam station security cameras. And then a similar appropriation increase for the operating of those cameras on the next line, on line 181. And that's an appropriation increase of $153,306,000 in the TAILS. Then a $100,000 one-time appropriation for security camera grants to drivers, our DL and DR offices. Then there's an appropriation increase for data auditing at $91,000 in this biennium and a base at $178,000 in the TAILS. And then $83,000 in a one-time appropriation for the watercraft indicator. This was a bill heard earlier by the committee. Under vehicle services, base increase for data auditing of $90,000 in this biennium and a base of $176,000 in the TAILS. Then a one-time appropriation for increased mailing costs in fiscal 2022 at $3.925 million one time. And then the on line 192 is a cost relating to Article 5, the independent expert review. The various provisions that has to do with access privileges and auditing, and that would be an increased appropriation for vehicle services at $101,000 in this biennium and setting a base at $188,000 in the TAILS. Finally, under traffic safety, there's a general fund appropriation of $2.5 million in fiscal 2023 and setting a base of $2.5 million each year in the TAILS. And that is the total for the Department of Public Safety. And moving down to the revenue items then, these are revenue changes as a result of provisions in the DE amendment. So the first on line 215 is just the recognition of the anticipated federal funds for state road construction that was mentioned earlier in the appropriations line. And then you can see the change as a result of the proposed fee redirection of citations, or excuse me, citation revenue rather than going to the Trunk Highway Fund, going to special revenue account for grade crossing safety. Those are the MnDOT revenue items. Then on the Department of Public Safety items, there's a number of changes relating to the independent expert review legislation in Article 5 or components thereof. The first being fee loss as a result of DR and DL agents being able to provide certain records. These would be losses to the Special Revenue Fund. And then there's also a provision in Article 5 that allows fee sharing for a portion of the online and mail-in transactions to be shared with DR and DL agents. And so what's on line 222 and 223 are the anticipated estimated loss to the vehicle services operating account at about $730,000 a year, and the loss to the technology account at about just under $2 million a year on line 223. And then there's also a filing fee increase that would be, depending on where the transaction happened, go to either the deputy registrars or DL agents or the Department of Public Safety. So on line 224 is showing the estimated fee increase to the driver services fund, but it's not showing the DR or DL impact. Then moving on to the next page, this is a summary of general fund changes. So this shows the entire sheet before this point showed only changes. This shows the base plus the change. So for the Department of Transportation, everything from line 233 to 240 is the base that was established, or the current law spending base that was established in last year's budget. And the changes, total change for MnDOT is for general fund is on line 241. And then the same for the Metropolitan Council, the base on line 245 and 246, and then the change is on line 247, and then the same for the Department of Public Safety. And then moving down to the end of the sheet, you can see the total change from base on line 264 is $225 million in this biennium and $100 million in base in the tails change from the budget of last year. And then there's a table of the allocation of the just under $150 million in trunk highway bonds. So $80 million for high priority bridges and $69 million for the facilities capital improvement program. That's MnDOT facilities like district headquarters, truck stations, salt sheds, and then bond sale expenses. And that is the spreadsheet. And I'd be happy to answer any questions on it.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. Are there any questions for Mr. Lee? Give it a minute here. I don't see any. So we will move on to Ms. Representative Torkelson.
And Kosnick.
Yep, I saw him pop up.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just a quick question. There were two spots where I wasn't sure if there was ongoing base appropriations or if it was just a biennial. One of them is on line 43, the tails in regards to the Northern Lights Express. I think that $17 million each year was just one-time appropriation for those 2 years. I want to verify that. And the other one was on line 194, the body armor, if that was continuing on as a base or if that was just an additional one-time funding on those two. Mr. Lee could verify.
Certainly, Madam Chair. And you're correct. The $17 million a year in fiscal 2024 and 2025 is the base. Is one time, and the effective language of that in the appropriations article is page 3, starting on line 26. It says the base is $17 million in each fiscal year 2024 and 2025, and zero in fiscal year 2026 and thereafter.
Representative Petersburg?
Thank you. And what about the soft body armor in line 194?
Mr. Lee?
That is also a base increase into the tails. Let me find it here. The soft body armor affected language is on starting on line 11.8 of the appropriations article, and the base is on 11.12 and 11.13, and the base is 950,000 in each fiscal year in 2024 and 25, and continuing past that, assuming the legislature doesn't change it. So the 950 number is different from the spreadsheet because that includes the base appropriation that was in last year's budget. So yes, both of those are in the tails, and assuming no change in next year's would be in the tails of the tails as well.
Thank you.
Representative Koznick.
I have to apologize. I got it distracted here. I had a similar question as Representative Petersburg on the line 43 with the ongoing base appropriation. I hate to ask you to repeat yourself, but it was the same question. What is the ongoing base appropriation for?
Mr. Lee?
Certainly. So the base appropriation is on in the appropriations language on page 3. Line 3.26, it's 17 million each year in 24-25 as shown on the spreadsheet, but it also says and zero in fiscal 2026 and thereafter. So in the tails, there isn't a, it doesn't continue with 17 million a year.
Okay, and again, I apologize if I got distracted. My dog, to be honest. And then on line number 74 was the, also the ongoing spending. Just the estimated.
Ms.
With
Lee?
The federal infrastructure funds match, you know, we're just explain to me, if you could, how we're estimating what we're going to receive and how that works to match. I'm not questioning it, but how does that work? Or how are we accounting for that, I guess?
Certainly, Madam Chair and Representative Koznick. The SRC federal funds is an estimate that MnDOT put together that they received, I believe, from FFIS and perhaps the Federal Highway Administration on anticipated formula funds that they will receive for spending on state trunk highways. Unlike many federal funds, the legislature has to appropriate federal funds for the state trunk highway system. On line 74 would be the amount that is anticipated from the federal government that is being increased in state road construction spending. But to answer your question, I think MnDOT estimated this amount based off of data from Federal Funds Information Service and perhaps the Department of Transportation at the federal level.
Thanks. So what happens if we're off on our estimates or, you know, because it seems like we're not getting, you know, completely clear as we'd like of what's available for federal funds or we're estimating. What happens if we estimate too high or too low? How do we account for that in the future?
Certainly, Madam Chair, Representative Koznick, if the legislature appropriates more money than would be available for spending in the trunk highway, then MnDOT couldn't spend the money it doesn't get from the Federal Highway Administration. It's not like they would be spending more state money as a result. If it's too low, then MnDOT wouldn't have the authority to spend this potential federal money that would be available to it. But they wouldn't have just like the authority to spend it without absent an appropriation. So,
Representative Koznick?
Thanks. Madam Chair, so do we have to reappropriate or down the road when we have more clarity on the actual amounts and the matching amount? Is that right then?
Mr. Lee?
Madam Chair and Representative Koznick, yes, and I should stress that the tails are it just setting a base. It's not actually appropriating in dollars. So next year during the budget process, MnDOT will have another probably a good sense of how much federal money they anticipate to receive. And so that amount could be revisited in the budget year next year.
Representative Koznick.
Fantastic. Thanks for the clarity. Appreciate it.
All right. Seeing no other hands, we will move on to Mr. Burris. And again, if you have clarifying questions, let me know. Otherwise, we can hold off until the end. So, Mr. Burris.
Madam Chair and members, Matt Burris with House Research, and I'll be walking through the delete all amendment that is coded H1683DE1. So this amendment, just to start with a couple of high-level comments, this contains a number of policy and finance provisions as well as appropriations, and some of the provisions are based on bills or similar to bills that have been heard in the committee this year. Generally speaking, the language in the delete all amendment reflects the changes adopted in committee for bills that were laid over or the latest engrossment. But there are some technical differences as well as some modifications in the DE, and I'll try to touch on where some of those differences are. So moving into the DE, Article 1 contains the appropriations, and this is largely the language that Mr. Lee just walked through, so I won't go into detail about it, but maybe just highlight a couple of things as a refresher for committee members about reading through the appropriations language. And some of this kind of gets at a couple of member questions that were just raised. The first is that the appropriations set up a default source of the Trunk Highway Fund. So that's the, if absent any other modification to the appropriations, the source is Trunk Highway Fund, but there are a number of riders as well as adjustments to that. For instance, for the Metropolitan Council, all those appropriations are from the general fund. Second, the amounts that are shown in these appropriations are supplemental. So it's additive in addition to the budget appropriations that were enacted by the legislature last year. And then third, getting somewhat to a couple of the questions that have been raised, a number of the appropriations are ongoing in the sense of setting a base. And that base isn't additive. It's really replacing a base or establishing a new base compared to the budget enacted last year. And as Mr. Lee had pointed out, the base is the starting point for the legislature in developing a budget in future biennia, but doesn't set spending authority. It just sets the kind of the beginning point for budgetary discussions. So with that, Article 1, as I mentioned, lays out the appropriations. Section 1 is the kind of technical structure. Section 2 contains the appropriations for the Department of Transportation. Section 3 is the appropriations to the Metropolitan Council. And then Section 4 is Department of Public Safety appropriations. And then finally, there's also a provision on page 14, Section 5 in this article that makes a modification to last year's enacted budget. And this broadens the authority under an appropriation to the Department of Public Safety in the capital security area, so that funds that are under current law only for capital security troopers and non-sworn officers could be utilized more broadly by the department. Moving then to page 16 of the DE amendment, Article 2 contains trunk highway bonds. This is a total of about $149 million in trunk highway bonding. Mr. Lee had outlined this, $80 million for high priority bridges, and then $69 million for MnDOT facilities and buildings. So this article contains the bond sale authorization as well as the appropriation of bond proceeds. And then finally, Section 5 in this article contains a modification to a prior trunk highway bonding provision. And this is related to the Corridors of Commerce program. This pushes out the date of when the department is required to go through a project selection process for previously appropriated bond proceeds for Corridors of Commerce. And this is one piece of a larger proposal that Representative Torkelson had carried or is in a in a bill that he's carrying. So there is some programmatic language that's also in this bill. Moving then to Article 3, there's a variety of policy and finance provisions. The first of those is in a series of sections, sections 1 through 5 that the committee had heard just recently on the Traffic Safety Advisory Council. So these sections establish the council, outline the membership, provide for administration, duties of the council and reporting. There are some changes to the membership of the council, and that's found on pages 19 and 20 of the DE1 amendment. And then moving to section 6 on page 21, this is a provision that's one of a number that are sort of scattered throughout this article that come out of recommendations from the governor in the governor's supplemental budget. And this provides for data practices and data sharing of information on race and ethnicity that the department is being authorized to collect as part of driver's license applications elsewhere in this article. And then section 7 on page 23 provides explicit authority for the department to maintain and operate electric vehicle charging stations in rest areas. Section 8, also on that page, directs the department, this is MnDOT, Department of Transportation, to establish a Highways for Habitat program. Section 9 is another of the governor's bill or governor's supplemental budget proposals. And this would designate a new state bikeway as the North Star Bikeway, running from St. Paul to the border with Canada along Lake Superior. Then sections 10 through 14 are a series of changes to the Corridor of the Commerce program. So this is the other piece of what I had mentioned on the trunk highway bonding side. So this is largely what the committee had heard, but there is a change in section 13 on page 27 with the calculation of the funding categories, so that the three funding pots or categories are calculated, that the averaging for that is on the basis of future project selection rounds rather than looking at averages from prior rounds. So it would be a prospective change. And then moving to section 15 on page 30 of the DE1 amendment. This is one of a number of MnDOT agency proposals, and this is one piece of a turnback and trunk highway rerouting provision. Section 16, as well as section 17, establish a couple of memorial highways. Section 18 is another MnDOT agency initiative that would allow the department to provide an Indian employment preference on some construction projects. A couple more MnDOT agency provisions are found in sections 19 and 20. These modify the calculation of money needs under the municipal state aid and county state aid street formula calculations, or what's used in those formulas. And then also related to municipal state aid streets, section 21 makes some modifications to the screening board reporting and membership for that allocation of that aid. And then moving to page 32, section 22 is a Department of Public Safety policy initiative on clarifying and broadening eligibility for special plates. Section 23 establishes that Gold Star plates can be personalized without a fee. This is also a Department of Public Safety initiative. Section 24 is on page 33, also from the Department of Public Safety. This modifies some of the requirements around when a motor vehicle dealer license can be denied, and updates a federal reference. Another piece relating to motor vehicle dealers is in section 25. Again, this is from the Department of Public Safety. And this is on revising the scheduling of when dealers have to be open or available for inspections. Following that, sections 26 through 30 make some modifications on requirements around ability for owners of a vehicle that has been towed to retrieve their contents. And there are some changes in this language compared to the most recent engrossment. One of the changes is found on in section 26, on page 35, a new paragraph D that explicitly allows the impound lot operators to make copies of documents that are being provided. There's also a new provision in section 27 that lays out some additional circumstances when the impound lot operator has to allow for access or retrieval of contents. And then there's some changes on the public notice that operators have to provide the verbiage of what is specifically part of the notice is revised, and that's found in section 29, starting on the bottom, towards the bottom of page 35 of the DE1 amendment. Moving then to page 37, section 31 is another Department of Public Safety initiative. This is on authorizing emergency use of school buses and regulating the circumstances of that use. Section 32 creates a new subtype or type of special permit for hauling forest products that are over on our vehicles that are both over width and overweight. This does, the amendment does contain some changes that largely are to modify the situations when interstate travel can be used. Eliminates something that wasn't necessary and clarifies the cases when the permit can be used with operating on interstates. And then section 33 is on page 40 of the DE1. This is another Department of Public Safety initiative from one of their policy bills. And this eliminates license, proof of license holding requirements for a individual who is seeking a special series plate, also known as a whiskey plate. And then section 34 is from the governor's supplemental budget proposal. This is the other piece of the race and ethnicity data collection on driver's license applications. Section 35 is a Department of Public Safety proposal to expand the documents that a individual can submit as part of a Real ID application to include utility internet service, or treat internet service bills as a type of utility. Section 36 on page 45 establishes a new type of reintegration license. This has some modifications to the requirements around when a license can be provided and when a when reinstatement of full privileges can be provided as well. Section 37 is another Department of Public Safety initiative, and this makes a change related to ignition interlock and referencing the circumstances of lost privilege, driving privileges for some ignition interlock participants. And then section 38 establishes the federal funds local assistance program. This is one of the provisions that there's an appropriation for in Article 1. And there is a change to the eligibility for the program in the DE1 amendment. This is found on page 50 in subdivision 5. The eligibility is broadened to include other entities that are eligible under the federal program that is that the state match aid is being sought for. And then moving to page 52, section 39 establishes the requirements for MnDOT to provide assistance to political subdivisions and tribal governments in developing applications for federal discretionary funds. Section 40 modifies the membership of the Local Road Improvement Program Advisory Committee to add a town board member. And then section 41, also on page 53, is a Department of Public Safety proposal to establish some reporting requirements for pipeline safety operators regarding notifications and the use of the and impacts of the notification system. Section 42 on page 54 is another provision that comes out of the governor's supplemental budget proposal, and this broadens the uses of funds that are in the Great Crossing Safety Account so that program administration and program delivery are specifically authorized. Section 43 is a conforming change that's part of the school bus use provision. And then section 44 is another provision that was in the governor's supplemental budget. This broadens the circumstances when a public safety officer deaf is considered to be in the line of duty. That then relates to survivor benefits eligibility as well as eligibility for some other programs that are administered by or aspects of the program that are administered by the Department of Public Safety. Section 45 is the statutory change that Mr. Lee had touched on regarding the grade crossing safety account so that additional funds are allocated from some state patrol citation fine revenue to go into that grade crossing safety account instead of the trunk highway fund. That is, I'm not sure if I mentioned it or not, but that was one another piece of the governor's supplemental budget proposal. Also in the governor's supplemental budget proposal, there are a couple of updates to civil penalty maximum amounts related to pipeline regulation violations, as well as violations regarding pipeline release. That's in sections 46 and 47, and the change would reference the maximums that are set under federal law instead of the amounts that are currently set in state statute. Section 48 on page 58 of the DE1 goes along with section 49. This is a couple of changes to regulation of small unmanned aircraft systems, relocates and modifies insurance requirements, as well as the situations when the registration cost is set at the current fee level. And then moving to section 50, on page 60, this provision sets requirements of the Met Council to ensure adequate training for transit operators on assisting persons with disability and mobility limitations. Sections 51 and 52 are MnDOT proposals that would provide for legislative turnback as well as aspects of trunk highway rerouting. Section 53 establishes some requirements for the Met Council to undertake planning for transit priority system implementation or expansion, and lays out the membership and some of the tasks for a working group to be convened to look at that. And then section 54 on page 62 relates to road usage charges. And this is based on the road usage charge bill that was proposed and discussed. However, this is a different approach. This establishes a task force rather than implementing a road usage charge. So under this section, a road usage charge task force would be established. Some members are identified and duties are laid out for the task force. And there's some administrative provisions. The LCC would provide support, as would the Departments of Transportation and Public Safety on request. And then the task force would be directed to provide a legislative report by January of next year. Speaking of reports, Section 55 also requires a report on the Highways for Habitat program. And then finally, Section 56 is another MnDOT provision. This repeals an administrative rule on reporting that's currently required of transit providers. Moving then to Article 4, rather than go section by section, I thought maybe I would just highlight some of the provisions that are contained in this article. This article reflects the bill and the legislative response to the independent expert review that had been submitted to the legislature earlier this year. And the changes in this article include providing authority to deputy registrars and driver's license agents who are full service to issue copies of various kinds of records. Also, it, as Mr. Lee had outlined in the spreadsheet, it provides for a reallocation of some mailed and online revenue that currently goes into a couple of the operating accounts for driver and vehicle services, and creates a statutory appropriation of that revenue to full service providers that's distributed proportionally based on transactions. There's also a filing fee increase that is it's variable. It's increased to a couple of different amounts depending on the type of transaction and whether it involves a real ID or not. That's for a filing fee on the driver's license transactions. There's a provision that waives knowledge and road test requirements for some applicants who have a driver's license from out of state. There's also some MnDrive data auditing and access requirements that get at reinstating lost access in some circumstances. There's direction to the Department of Public Safety to provide real-time information on locations where there's availability of scheduling road exams. And then there's a legislative report that's also required on looking at transition to digital licenses. So this article contains some, but not all, of the provisions that were originally proposed in the independent expert review bill. So a couple of things that aren't included include if that makes sense, that some of the things that are excluded are the $5 surcharge on mailed transactions, modifications to repeat exam fees, lengthening the period of issuance of driver's licenses from 4 to 8 years, as well as a couple of the legislative reports. So then moving finally to the last article, this is found starting on page 80. And this article covers or addresses salvage title brands and prior salvage brands. This is the same language that had been passed the House in a bill that was on the floor yesterday. So this creates a new prior salvage brand that's used in some circumstances. It broadens and centralizes disclosure requirements, including to require written disclosure in some cases on sale of a vehicle. It broadens the branding requirements to include some motorcycles and commercial motor vehicles, and then has a variety of technical and clarifying and structural changes that go along with the policy changes. So that, Madam Chair, is the DE1 amendment. I'm happy to go back into more detail if there are questions.
Thank you, Mr. Burris. All right, members, are there questions for Mr. Burris? I will give it a minute here. I'm not seeing any. So thank you, Mr. Burris. Representative Torkelson / Petersburg, just Torkelson.
This is the real Torkelson. This is not a question in regard to Mr. Burris's presentation. So I just was waiting to make sure there were no questions. Are you ready for more general questions at this point, Madam Chair?
Yes.
My question would be to the author. You know, my question really relates to what's not in this bill, and that is a major change in taxes related to transportation that apparently is going to go to the tax committee, but will result, as I understand it anyway, in significant revenue for transportation. Mr. Chair, could you give us kind of an outline of what's going on there and how it affects our work here in the Transportation Committee?
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the question, Representative Torkelson. Yes, absolutely. This is an important development in terms of our committee work this year, which is not included in this bill, as you observed. That bill was officially moved to taxes yesterday through floor action. It is in the Tax Committee. Understanding is that we'll move separately from our bill. I don't know the timing yet of that, but you know, that is referred to taxes because of the sales tax transfer provision, and obviously would increase our target significantly. And but I think those details remain to be worked out in terms of the timing of the bill's progression and any adjustment in target.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Hornstein. How is that money going to be spent? Well, is that information included in the bill that's before the Tax Committee? And are there any changes from what we talked about in our committee?
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Torkelson. The bill before the Tax Committee now is in as we passed it. Obviously, other committees can make changes and adjustments as they see fit. But what was remanded to the Tax Committee yesterday is the bill in the shape that it was passed yesterday, or I'm sorry, last Thursday in our committee.
Representative Torkelson.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Hornstein. And then finally, how will this come together as you relate to the Senate as we approach the conference committee process?
Chair Hornstein.
Madam Chair and Representative Ferguson, that's an excellent question. You know, I think this will depend on the progression of the bill as it moves through the House and decisions that relate to, you know, broader budget considerations. Certainly, again, my interest here is in the bill as amended that we passed on Thursday, but I don't know yet, you know, how that will line up with other bills coming from the Senate.
Representative Torkelson?
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chair Hornstein. It will be interesting. You know, I've looked briefly at the Senate bill. They are spending all that money in their bill. And so in order for the conference committee to be effective, it looks to me like this needs to come together somehow. And as you learn more about this, I'm sure you'll let the committee know.
Madam Chair?
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you, Representative Torkelson. Madam Chair and Representative Torkelson, yes, I've looked at that. And again, I think there were, I'll just say that, yes, the spending levels will need to be adjusted accordingly when we receive targets. And I'll just leave it at that. I have also looked at that bill as well, Representative Torkelson.
And now I'm assuming Representative Petersburg has a question.
Yeah, thank you. Because I'm going to follow up a little bit on that too, because I see the challenge I think that I really see is the paths that it's that the sales tax, the auto parts sales tax is going in the Senate is different in the House. And so if it doesn't get passed through the tax committee, it makes it real difficult to really incorporate that into a transportation bill here in the House as well when they don't really match up. And so it is a question that we will probably have to struggle with when that comes, because it's an important piece. It impacts more than just what we could spend this year. It also impacts what our debt capacity would be for trunk highway bonds as well. And so any kind of information that you might have as to how you see it following through is helpful, but I know you don't have clairvoyance and you don't have this crystal ball in front of you, but it does make it a little bit more difficult. And it's one of the reasons why it would be nice if we had targets, if we had some preliminary negotiations with either leadership or into the Senate as well. I think that's been a mistake, but that's not for me to say. Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Petersburg. Chair Hornstein, any response at all?
No, I think we're all in somewhat of agreement that we have a substantial bill also related to transportation moving separately from this bill, and we will have to see how these different pieces can be reconciled as the session moves on. It's certainly substantive and important, and I'm glad that our committee did its work, and now we need the rest of the legislature and leadership to work with us on that bill's future.
All right. Are there any other questions from members? I'm not seeing any other hands. So with that, thank you, Chair Hornstein. Last, we'll take testimony from the Met Council before we adjourn. So we have Mr. Shetnan up. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Shetnan. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Well, great. Thank you, Chair Cagle and members. My name is Judd Shetnan. I'm the Government Affairs Director for the Metropolitan Council. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to share the council's comments on House File 1683, the Supplemental Transportation Finance and Policy Bill. First of all, I'd like to express our appreciation for your investment in the IIJA matching funds for electric buses and infrastructure for our transit system. These investments are an important component in our ability to transition our fleet to no or low emission technology, and take advantage of the environmental benefits that electrifying our system will have on the region. We also agree that investing in the arterial bus rapid transit system is money well spent, and thank the chair and the committee for your continued support in this bill. We would like to have further discussions with you regarding the Transit Signal Priority Planning Group. There are concerns regarding the due date for the report and the potential duplication of work that is already being done. And we'd like to continue this conversation with you over the next few weeks to potentially sort these issues out. I would ask the committee to continue to pursue the administrative citations initiative that Representative Elkins and Representative Kosnick have led recently. And in fact, all of the support we've received from this committee has been appreciated, and we believe that passage of this language would improve our service and customer experience. And lastly, I'd like to take the opportunity to ask you to consider investing in the Blue Line extension. The Blue Line is an essential component of our regional transit and transportation system, and the governor has recommended $200 million for that project, and your strong appreciation or consideration would be appreciated. And thank you for the opportunity to allow me to testify on House File 1683, and I'm happy to take any questions that you may have. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shetnan. Is there any questions for Mr. Shetnan? Seeing none. All right. Well, with that, members, we have some extra time to get your day back a bit. I will hand the gavel back over to Chair Hornstein if he wants to close out for us.
Thank you, Vice Chair Cagle, and thank you to Mr. Burris and Mr. Lee for that very helpful walkthrough of the bill. I want to remind members that we have a deadline tomorrow at 1 o'clock for amendments. And then I also invite members of the public to sign up to testify if you have any comments, concerns, criticisms, advice. Please share those with us either via testimony at the hearing tomorrow, which begins at 1 o'clock, or through written comments. We will take written comments as well, and those will appear in members' packets if you prefer that route or cannot testify via Zoom tomorrow. And then a reminder as well that on Thursday afternoon, we will consider amendments and vote on the bill at that time, and of course vote on amendments. So please communicate with our committee administrator, John Howe, about testifying and sending in your written testimony. So with that, Madam Chair, I don't think I have any further announcements and look forward to the public testimony tomorrow.
Thank you, Chair Hornstein. With that, members, we are adjourned. We will see you tomorrow.